Hey guys, comedians are still getting in cars, getting coffee. Somebody feed Phil some more food. We got top five upcoming Netflix releases and Netflix news all right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Amy, you gotta lead us on this one.
No, you guys can read the lyrics, but I don't
want to
sing it by myself.
Oh, there we go. We got some dance
lights
going on.
We should do this.
Thumbs up if you're in that chat and you've heard this song before.
And we'll talk about where it's from.
And why we're doing it. I know, right? Because this is not a Rick Hong pick.
What?
So.
This is your favorite song. Stop trying to play it off.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. I'm Rick Hong. And next to me, I've got Ashley Chaney.
Hi, everyone. Don't I look tan?
Whatever.
You do. You do.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
And the other side, we got Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi, that's me.
And Steve Kaufman.
Steve Kaufman's here, and I don't believe anyone's going to give me food, Star Drew.
Funny. Dang. All right, so it's been 2 weeks. I've been out. I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going to get right into it. And Steve Kaufman, you watched Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee Season 5. Which episode did you watch?
I've seen five of them. So Zach Galifianakis, Ellen DeGeneres, Dave Chappelle, and then I skipped all the way down to Jerry Lewis, and I'm forgetting one, but I've seen about four or five of them.
Right. I saw Hasan Minhaj, and then I was gonna maybe see Kate McKinnon. That's the one I really want to see.
Okay,
but I'm waiting.
All right.
So what do you think?
Oh, I really enjoyed. Like, this is one of those shows that like you're either into it or not by now. And like, if you're really into it, it's really good. Because I like what Jerry Seinfeld writes off as lazy television is better than most television.
Yeah, what is it about people? Like, people are more comfortable because it's not produced or something? Like,
kind of. Something like, about but it's super car. Produced. It's just not produced by Jerry Seinfeld in the sense that he's like, I show up in the car, and then we get in the car.
No,
and
I show up in the car.
And yeah, like, I'm not trying to,
well.
Jerry.
Okay.
What's the deal? I won't be getting a job doing voiceovers being Jerry Seinfeld.
The Zach Galifianakis episode, which started this season, was by far one of the best I've seen of this series. Mm. And it's like, and you could tell Zach Galifianakis took the fact that Jerry Seinfeld anticipated absolutely nothing to be like, cool, this is going to be my episode. We're going to do exactly what I want to do.
I think that's what that sort of speaks to your point there. Like, I don't think Jerry is anticipating anything, which makes the conversation feel, as it is, authentically happening and unfolding. And I think that's why I really enjoy the show.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Ellen and Kate's episode.
Ellen's is wonderful.
Here's my thing. When you guys watch this show, do you get hungry for pancakes and wanting to go get coffee? Every time I watch it, I'm always like, I want some coffee and some pancakes.
I'm never not hungry for those
things.
It's only the show. Like, I like pancakes, but I don't have like deep, deep craving. But like, yeah, when those like subliminal messages come up like that, that's when I want. Yeah, dude, I want to get coffee. I want to drive a Ferrari.
Well, you know, actually, it just makes me want to go to all these places they're going to.
Yeah,
that's it. Every single one, and get exactly what they're getting.
I want to see Jerry Seinfeld at the Griddle on Sunset.
Yeah.
And have no one tell him.
Yeah.
I want no one to tell him what the Griddle's about. I want him to just order, I'll have the Oreo pancake. And then they hand him a plate.
Like the size of four faces.
Oh, the Griddle on Sunset Boulevard. It's very famously way too big for any one person to complete. They give you three pancakes.
Challenge accepted.
Girl.
I was born in Texas. Everything's big in Texas.
I don't want to be responsible for making you not want pancakes for a year, because that's what the Griddle will do to you. That's not true.
That sounds like a fun place to go.
Before the end of the year, we will do an outing. We will document it.
Let's do it.
And we'll talk about all the different types of pancakes. And going with that, Somebody Feed Phil Season 2 is a Netflix original television, and Ashley Chaney was going to be watching it, because I always get hungry, so I can't. So how was it?
Yeah, speaking of getting hungry. So this is a show, I think I've talked about this show before. Somebody Feed Phil is created by Phil Rosenthal, who created the show Everybody Loves Raymond, which you guys have all seen. We've all seen at some point or another. And it feels very much Everybody Loves Raymond. So I have mixed feelings about this show. One, I think I'm...
But you liked season one when you reviewed it, right?
I liked season one because I think I'm always so hungry for food and travel content. And I want to be clear that this show is really more a travel content than food content. He's certainly not a food connoisseur. He calls himself a foodie, but I think he really likes food. He certainly speaks to the everyman and woman who doesn't know, like... You know, who isn't like a highbrow chef or doesn't know a lot about cooking or in the kitchen. so, and I think I said this the first time I reviewed season one, which is like,
it's no, hard. I don't remember hearing that.
No, it's hard for me to, it's sometimes hard for me to get behind. I'm like, now how come this guy has a show? Because, but that said, I mean, he's just, he's a kind of funny. But he goes to visit some really cool places, which I don't think there's necessarily anything real original going on, but it's a sort of lighter take on some of the stuff that like Bourdain or the other like real travel or foodies have visited.
So basically what you're telling me is just keep watching Guy Fieri, Diners, Drive-Ins, and whatever.
Oh my God.
That's food. That's real food. Yes. That's food that I like. It's, I like going to. I like eating.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. This is like food, like Food Network and Travel Channel Lite. Like it's like Food Network, Travel Channel Lite.
I also support any show like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or Somebody Feed Phil that travels the country or the world and shines a light on just regular work and culinary folks.
Yeah.
And like actually helps small businesses grow by putting them on a channel and giving them a platform to tell people what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. This show, he's kind of more going to like some big touristy attractions.
Oh, okay.
Then. But that said, it's kind of cool to see like some places.
Example of like one that sticks up.
So like the first episode is Venice, for example. And by the way, this in season two, he goes to Venice, Dublin, Buenos Aires, Copenhagen.
I'm thinking Venice, California.
Me too. No, I was too.
Yeah.
I was about to make a joke about the Abbey and the
Until you said right.
Californians.
Okay.
Cape Town, and then New York City is the domestic location that he visits. And then just a little bit of backstory to this show, because I've dug in. I'm like, now, hang on a second. I get that he's created a show, and he's like kind of funny, but how come he has this? How come he gets to have a show? So I dug in. He had a show on PBS that was like 6 episodes. It was called I'll Have What Phil's Having. It's also on Netflix in case you want to see how he... his humble beginnings as a food and travel host. I mean, there's nothing really humble about him. I mean, he created a very popular sitcom, but people definitely don't know him as a host. So he started on I'll Have What Phil's Having, PBS show, which is also on Netflix, and you can see some of his earlier work there. So that's how he got 2 seasons of a
No, the reason he got 2 seasons is because he sold 11 seasons of like Everybody Loves Raymond. So he's like uber rich from that.
Exactly. I mean, he might have just financed this himself. I did stay to watch the credits. I'm like, who's the executive producer? But it's not him. So
I mean, there's a theme here with Jerry Seinfeld and Phil Rosenthal.
But that's not to say all he financed it himself and he's got connect. So much as to say that's his livelihood, that's his life, that's his profession.
Yeah.
That day in and day out, when he has any type of idea or concept, that's his next thought is like, well, how do I mold this into a television show most people would watch or at least not hate?
And let me just back up and say, it's totally entertaining and easy to digest. It's not like annoying or, you know. I mean, he does have that Everybody Loves Raymond type of comedy that some people really hate and some people really like. So if you really like Everybody Loves Raymond, you'll definitely like the show.
I definitely like the show. So those are Netflix original television. And now we're going to get into Netflix original film. Amy Cassandra Martinez, you watched Kiss Me First. Who is in it? What is this movie about?
Well, first, I'm going to stop you right there, and it's not a film.
Uh-oh. It's TV?
It's TV.
It's a series. Two seasons?
It's, no.
See, I purposely did this to quiz her just to see if she really was watching.
Wow. Sure, Jan.
That's some great content right there.
It's only the first season. There are 6 episodes. Each one's about 47 minutes or so. I only saw the first one, and it's kind of like Ready Player One meets Matrix meets something else. And it's different. It's different, and I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of it. It's very, like, into the whole, like, virtual reality world and all of that. And the first episode, like, you know, it's the pilot. You're getting to meet everyone. It's cool. It's different. So if you're looking for something where there's a little bit of romance involved, as we can see here by the picture. But, yeah, I mean, it just felt weird because I'm like, we kind of just saw something similar to this with Ready Player One, and that's so still kind of, like, fresh in my mind. But the fact that it's on Netflix, first of all, is nice. The fact that it's, like, a series, if you want to live in that world for, you know, multiple hours, that's nice as well. And it looks pretty cool. Like, you know, obviously Ready Player One had, like, a crap ton of money put into it. So for it to look this nice and be on Netflix, you know, obviously Netflix is not cheap at all, but... you know, they did a good job.
They only have $8 billion.
Yeah. That's it, guys. But yeah, it looks cool. I suggest you give it a try if if any of that sounded interesting to you. Not my cup of tea, but I'm also looking for something really silly. You know, I'm finishing up Parks and Rec. So I just want something that is around that kind of a, you know, vibe. But this was different. And so, yeah, I don't know actually if you guys had seen Ready Player One.
Yeah, I've seen Ready Player One. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay, this you might
actually,
like it.
This actually kind of piques my interest.
Yeah, yeah. One, I mean, there were certain parts of Ready Player One where I was like, "Oh my god, this is amazing," but yeah, it just depends on what you like and what possibly transfers.
Is it like a near future where everyone lives on like an AR VR style thing?
No.
Did they not get into the socioeconomics?
No, I mean, like, she actually lives a lot outside of the VR world, but she goes into it. So I would say that's the biggest difference with Ready Player One.
Whereas Ready Player One is, like, right, the actor's deep into the...
Yeah, so, but it's different, like I said. Yeah, it's different.
Cool. Steve Coffin, I'm interested to see your thoughts, see if you get past an episode one of this.
Okay.
Eventually.
I'll commit to it now. I'll find time this week to watch one episode of this series.
Awesome.
I
look forward to the follow-up. I watched a Netflix original film called Tau, T-A-U, and it was B-A-D.
No!
All right, okay, so here's the thing. So it has Micah Monroe, who's kind of a newer actress, but she's the daughter in Independence Day 2. Mm-hmm. Ed Skrein, who I think is the man, and he is the villain in Deadpool 1.
Ajax.
He also is an actor who had a prominent role in the new Hellboy movie that's being remade, and he turned it down, or he eventually turned it down after accepting it because there's all this backlash because the character in the original graphic novel comics is Asian. So the Asian community went ballistic, and so he did the right thing and said, you know what, I'm going to let someone who should be taking this role take it. Went to Daniel Day Kim. I've interviewed him on a carpet. He's the sweetest guy too. So he was in it, so I was sold there. And the biggest sell here is Gary Oldman. However, you don't really see Gary Oldman, the Oscar winner, in this movie. He is Tau, artificial intelligence of this house.
Oh, okay.
So and,
it's about, what's it about?
So Ed Skrein plays like this like Steve Jobs kind of character, and he ends up kind of kidnapping Micah Monroe, and he's trying to fulfill this experiment. That was a problem. It's like the writing and the directing was not... It was like they were at 75% all the way through for both things. Oh. So, like, parts of it was just, like, character development. I was like, I was like, you've missed areas of character development for all three characters. And it was, like, I couldn't figure it out. Is this a thriller? Is it a horror movie? Is it science fiction? And even, like, the genres kind of mixed. There's a little bit, at times, I thought it was, like, okay, it's going to be a horror thriller type, you know, Saw type thing.
Ooh,
but it wasn't. And then, eventually, like, Micah Monroe kind of makes friends with Tal, this artificial intelligence, who, like, and she's being held captive. So it's a pass for me. Like, which is unfortunate because I actually do like all the elements of them put together, and I put the blame definitely on the writer and the director for this thing.
Yeah. We did talk about this briefly a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, and we talked about it being, you know, one of the upcoming releases. My plan was to watch it, but honestly, even just not the thumbnail, but I guess the still before, you know, they play a little bit was just not that interesting. I just thought, I'll come back to it. And I haven't since. So
this struck me as kind of a swing for the fence that it was either going to be amazing, like, oh my God, the house is the villain, or it's going to be terrible. And I trust you. It sounds pretty terrible.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound great.
I like it all. Like, I always like newer, like Micah Monroe. Like, you know, like, I like seeing newer actors or actresses and seeing what their potential is. And I wasn't 100% familiar with her, even though I'd seen Independence Day 2. Mm-hmm. But Ed Skrein, and then Gary Oldman. It's just like, why is Gary Oldman attaching himself to something that's not going to be good
money?
No, sometimes.
Right. No, I know. But I mean, he just, you know, he also, like, I'm sure he did this before he got his Oscar for.
Also, Gary Oldman specifically has been doing this for long that you can pick just as many misses as hits in Gary Oldman's career. The key is that he keeps doing it.
But that said, if Rick Hong says it's a pass, I won't watch it. No negotiation for me. Actually, if any of you guys tell me to pass, then I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Because my time is so valuable.
Because we have a little bit of time, and because I've been gone, let me just say this. The Last Jedi was still terrible on Netflix when it dropped.
Never mind. He lost me.
Luke Cage, I finished up. I really, really wanted to like it, and I'm...
Stop!
Maybe I should watch this movie.
And, however, the one thing that has not let me down... I do the after show. We just finished up this season 2 for the Glow After Show, so you guys can go find that on Comedies for After Buzz TV, which Amy Martinez is going to give us the read in a second. But Glow Season 2, I did it in 24 hours. I watched the whole thing. It was awesome, so that was great. But Amy?
Yes, we have a little something to share with you guys. So, hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now, right now. Okay, thank you.
We'll wait.
For this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments down below, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN for TV talk.
Awesome. So non-Netflix original releases that came, or non-Netflix releases that came out this week, movies and TV. Amy, what'd you watch? You watched Birthmarked.
Oh my God. I did. Okay, Birthmarked. It was one of those where I really wanted to watch a movie that I'd never heard about before. And it's with Toni Collette, who is just in Hereditary. And if you have not seen
that. And if she does not get nominated for that role, I will be shocked, because she's so good in it. Go see Hereditary. But we're talking Birthmarked.
Yes. Well, and that was part of the reason why I did decide to watch it, because I was like, girl, you killed it. And if you remember, thank you. So it's about this husband and wife, and they get married, and then they decide to have triplets, and they decide to raise each one of them slightly different, like catering to, you know, like artsy kind of a thing, or like super intellectual.
Awesome.
And they're also kind of like scientists, and they actually like collaborate with another scientist. And I'm not going to tell you the whole plot, but it's actually really interesting.
I saw it. I was intrigued. So, now I will be watching. That's awesome.
Yeah,
keep going.
It's really cool. The length of it is actually pretty nice. Like, if you leave it kind of wanting more, I think they've done their job. Because there are so many movies out there where you're just thinking, they could have cut off 30 minutes. This is not one of those. I think the kids did wonderful. Definitely recommend. It's different. Wow, that's what I want, I guess. I just want something different, which is true. There's comedy. It's... I guess you could say coming of age, but they're fun.
I didn't see any of the, and this didn't show
this
up on my queue at all.
On my radar.
This one popped up on mine. It did. Like in the queue, yeah. It's interesting, right? Like I just went somewhere, and I'm planning on, I'm going to cover it for next week. It's called Boy Bye. And that thing's never shown up anywhere, I think, on any
like
of my...
Like, bye-bye, or like...
Yeah, like, bye-bye. Yeah, like, hey, like, hey, boy, bye, like, type thing.
Boy, comma,
boy,
bye.
Yeah,
boy.
Boy, bye.
Yeah,
boy,
thank you.
That's how it's...
Like, right.
No, no, and like, on, I was, guys. It was recommended to me to some, but, like, from our own Jeff Graham, who works here, and said to go check it out, so I will be doing that. But, yeah, it didn't pop up anywhere in my queue, so it's interesting to see how...
Well,
I saw Birthmarked, but you know, Steve, you know.
And I love Toni Collette. That totally sounds up my alley. It's like a nice, kind of light, funny thing to watch. It's not going to be real heavy.
It's I mean, there's some dark moments, but not too dark. And also, it's interesting because I do like to go down into, you know, they have the categories.
Yeah.
And sometimes the categories they have, you're like, what? That sounds interesting. But yeah, didn't do super hard digging for it. That's a hidden gem. But yeah.
All right.
Exciting. Thanks
well,
for the tip.
Well, mm-hmm. Something that did drop also, and we just had this conversation earlier, but Jurassic 1, 2, and 3
yes!
all drop on Netflix. So Jurassic Park has played many, 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 many times, many over the years. Jurassic Park 3 I've caught a few times, and I've seen all these, I've seen all three in the theaters before. Jurassic Park 2, though, was not one of those ones that ever repeated itself a lot, so that was the one that I was intrigued about. So The Lost World, Jurassic Park, starring Vince Vaughn, probably fresh off of Swingers.
Yes.
Like, this was heralded as Vince Vaughn being in a Jurassic Park movie so fast was heralded as like a huge success for indie filmmaking in the mid 90s.
And Steven Spielberg directed this one.
Yes.
I was like, as I was watching it, I was like, eh. And then as the credits rolled, I was like, oh, okay, it's Steven Spielberg. He did this one as well. And then it has Julianne Moore.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw Julianne Moore in something this morning. I don't remember what it is. She does not age.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She does not age. It was the Kingsman sequel, too. That's what I was watching. Mm-hmm. She does not age. So, like, she looks great. What's funny is, so then Jeff Goldblum's the lead.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't get it, but it's fine. And then funnier is the actor Richard Schiff. If you guys watch Ballers, if you guys watch The West Wing, if you guys watch The Good Doctor, a young version of him is in this. Right now, currently, when you watch him on cable, on TV, he looks like a professor. Back then, he looks like one of those supporting actors. It's really scary.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I got to interview him a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't really know his body of work very well. So.
Yeah. No, well, apparently, neither did I, because I was like, wait, he was in The Lost World?
He's got a ridiculous career. Yeah, aside from like West Wing, I believe he was in Ray. And I know it because he also appeared as himself on Entourage.
Oh, nice.
Yelling at Ari Gold for, like, I want to be a leading man. I want to say curse words in the Stallone movie. Like, it was really awesome, like, for him to play a version of himself. Like, that guy is awesome.
So when I watched it, I wanted to say, because, like, I was trying to figure out what was going on in number two, because, like, I know number three, I know number one, and then I've seen the most recent two. So that's why I wanted to see number two. And it's a little hard to watch. Some of the techniques are a little hard, but if you're a filmmaker, it's actually kind of cool to say, watch it and see if you can mimic some of that stuff because of, like, how they had to work around, like, not being able to, like, kind of have, like, this, like, awesome CGI.
Well, but also I would say this about all the original Jurassic Park trilogy is that it's mostly practical effects to the point that the CGI in any of those films is the stuff that doesn't hold up. The stuff that actually holds up is the actual physical T-Rex, like, up close, because it's puppeteering. It's puppeteering, it's practical effects, and practical effects will always hold
like,
up.
Yeah, watching it on my flat screen at home, there's definitely scenes where I'm like, okay, they had, like, a big screen in the back, and then they had the actors, like, running around in front of it and blending it together. So, I mean, granted, you know, CG has also come a long way since The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Of course, but those two sequels I was not a fan of. I actually think 3 was better than 2.
So I was thinking that, okay, 3 probably wasn't as good as 2, but now that I went back and watched 2, I'm like, I think 3 is actually better than 2. And it's sad. It makes me kind of sad knowing that Steven Spielberg is the one that did The Lost World.
He was still trying to find himself.
Well, no.
Lost World.
I mean, Steven.
Yeah, Amy.
Steven Spielberg has put out some duds. That's not a hot take.
You're getting freaking sober now.
Sure, like, but it's just
Warhorse wasn't. Well, I was just gonna say Warhorse.
Warhorse wasn't the best. Like, come on.
That was the only one I could think of. Was Warhorse? Oh, good.
Jaws 2? Did he direct Jaws 2? That, like, I don't think that could have been good.
But hey, guys, every week, if you're not watching us here, 7 p.m. on Sundays, you can always find us on iTunes. And please give us 5 stars because the other ones don't work. And if you do, we'll give you a shout out. So, like, that's where you guys can find us if you guys happen to not hear us or watch us live.
Do we have any fans you want to shout out?
We do have some fans that I'm a shout out right now. Yeah. Star Drew is up in the chat. He subscribes to wrestling and sci-fi animation.
Star Drew, we always love having you.
Thank you for that sub. Drew Baldwin is in the chat. He says no food for Steve. I'm going to eat later, y'all. Do I look hungry? I'm hungry. Do I look hungry?
I'm starving.
And Brad 200712 says what's up. What's up, Brad? What's also up? Zias Bilou. What's up, fam?
Zias Bilou. Always love having you in the chat.
Shout outs.
All right, well, Hidden Gems, or something people have revisited. Amy, you watched, and this is why we played I'm a Super Girl, or whatever the song was, right? You watched Princess Diaries.
Yes. I love how brave you're being today. I appreciate it. Yes, I did rewatch for, like, the millionth time.
Princess Diaries. This could not have been your first time.
No, it's one of those, I think they're one of two movies that I can almost quote the entire movie, and I'm proud of it. No shame. But it's interesting to watch it after. That's fine, Rick. That's okay. Looking at me weird. It's one of those where I haven't seen it in, like, maybe 7-8 years. So it was fun. There are some things where I remember watching it, and I was in fifth grade. And if you've never seen Princess...
Oh, so last year?
Last year, guys. Not too long ago. If you guys have never seen Princess Diaries... First of all, go watch it. It's on Netflix. But it's about, you guys have seen it, right?
Well, supposedly it's loosely based on a true story about, like, it was inspired by this girl that was that found out she was a princess of, like, some random small country.
That's beautiful.
It's obviously hugely,
Yeah, like, because Meg Cabot wrote the book. But, so she finds out she's a princess. I'm a what? But yeah, and then it's really fun. Julie Andrews is in it, and she's still as magical as I remember her being. But I do remember thinking when I was in fifth grade, like, wow, she's in 10th grade. Her whole goal is just to get through 10th grade, graduate, all of that. And I just remember thinking that was so far away, and now it's so far away. But yeah, it's fun. And do have to say that the second Princess Diaries movie is not on Netflix. A lot of people are angry. I actually went to Vudu, not Hulu.
V-U-D-U.
V-U-D-U, yes. Uh-huh. To watch the second one again, which I know is not nearly as good, but it's slightly better now, looking back on it. Yeah.
That one's Julie, what's her name, right?
Julie Andrews still.
No. Mm-hmm. Don't they bring in another girl?
No.
No, it's still her. And Chris Pine is Love Interest.
Okay. Yes, I am.
The Prince in me. Yep. Julia Stiles. Yes.
Also, they don't have the sequel on this. I put a bit of a news item in the rundown,
which I can't wait to talk about.
Yeah. We're going to talk a lot about this and hopefully set some records. Anne Hathaway is, I think, the first person I've ever heard of to get an Oscar, and then everyone starts trashing as an actress.
Oh, I think that happens a lot.
Does that happen a lot?
Haters super hate.
Haters super hate it.
But like, people really, really started to hate Anne Hathaway. Like, I think Ocean's 8 is pretty much like her coming out that like, oh, we're remembering that Anne Hathaway was a good actress again. I think it's rough. Yeah. I also think it, now that I'm thinking about it, I think it's kind of sexist that happens to actresses more.
Probably.
Because like, now that I think about it, that kind of happened to Jennifer Lawrence as well.
And
these are recent Best Actress winners.
Although I love her so much still.
I love her so much as well, but I think like she was nominated a third time for Joy, right? And she was just like, really?
I guess, y'all just
saw Jennifer Lawrence on the form and just nominated her.
I guess so.
That's funny.
But I do want to send out a challenge for everyone watching. Rewatch, if you can, your favorite movie in fifth grade. Just do it.
What would my favorite movie in fifth grade even be?
Try to remember.
Challenges.
Okay.
Challenge
accepted.
Well, really quick, something that I revisited, meaning I actually finished it up, because when it dropped, I was very good about binging it. It's Orange is the New Black. Seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, did it. Season 5, I watched about halfway through and stopped. So I finally finished it. And the reason I'm bringing it up today is because July 27th. So I'm trying to give you guys time now to try to catch up, because Orange is the New Black is very good. So I'm trying to give people time now. They'll be dropping season 6 on the 27th.
19 days.
But I was happy that I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if Orange is the New Black was going to be one of those series that I'd gotten through most of the seasons. Yeah. And then I just finally decided to stop watching it. But I finished it, and I'm still intrigued to go watch season 6. So
I'm happy people enjoy that show.
I get a little lost after season three. I'm like, or not same. Lost, I'm just sort of like uninterested.
Gone. Yeah.
Same.
Swipe left.
Tough. I would like to try it again.
Well, I tried it again already. I swipe left.
Something new, something in Netflix news. Netflix is removing online reviews in August. I don't know what you guys think of that.
I don't really care.
I mean, it doesn't really affect me. It doesn't ever affect how I choose what to watch anyway. How about you guys?
No.
Yeah. Not really. So, like, the review we all give, the 5-star review, or is there an actual box where you could give reviews I just haven't been using? Oh, then.
That one.
I wasn't using the service.
Like, I kind of pay attention to the percentage match more than anything else. Even, like, what's recommended for me. Like, if you like this, you'll watch it. No. What's the percentage match? And then I'll read what it's about. And if I think it's stupid and it thinks that I would love it, I get offended. Like, Netflix, you should know better by now. But if it's the opposite, like, why didn't you know that I would like this? It's hard to be Netflix, I think.
It's a tough job. Someone's going to know.
And financial service company Accounting Company said that 27% of people watch Netflix, 20% watch basic cable. How crazy is that?
What about
not
everyone
crazy at all.
Else?
It doesn't surprise me.
18% for broadcast, 11% for YouTube, and
good YouTube.
Yeah, but it's pretty interesting that Netflix outranks cable now.
Cable is has 9% more than YouTube. That's it.
9%.
Is piracy on that list?
No, I'm curious. That's just you, Steve Coffin. No,
I'm curious if piracy is at least a whole single digit percent. Because I don't know. Just
probably.
I'm wondering. I'm just wanting for statistics' sake. I'm curious if up to 5% of American viewers pirate what they want.
There was one piece of news. I don't know, Rick. Did you see it in your piece?
Bring it up.
About,
you talk about it.
Steve Coppin actually.
I brought up the link. I put the link in the forum, and essentially Netflix in Netherlands. Someone had tweeted at the Netflix in Netherlands, and this was like a month ago, but I just now saw the article. They tweeted the Netflix in Netherlands and said, "Hey, I want Chelsea Peretti's comedy special." And they replied back to him, "You know the drill." And then they gave him a link, and it's like netflix.com/submission.
Like, and no one knew the drill.
and Chelsea Peretti personally retweeted it. It was like, nobody knows this drill.
Yeah. What?
So we can request like titles that we want on Netflix, and I am about to go blow that S up.
I did
okay,
that yesterday.
Say it again. Say it again slowly, podcast listeners.
So basically,
everyone
basically
listen.
That means Amy's saying Princess Diaries too.
Right. Yes, no, some people are doing that for me.
There is a link which we will put in the description to this show below where you can go to Netflix.
I'll also
this
comment
submission
it and then
form.
Pin that comment.
Yeah, where you can go to this place and request titles that you want, up to 3 titles per submission that you want to be seen on
but
Netflix.
But you can just keep
but you can just multiple keep submissions.
Oh,
okay,
as many
great.
Submissions yeah. as you want.
What is it again? What is it again?
Well, we're going to drop the link in the description box and Steve's going to comment and pin it. But it's you can just go to this site and request what titles you want on Netflix. There's 3 per Gosh. Submission, but hit them up.
This that's is crazy. A life changer.
Yeah. I'm going to suggest my own original shows.
All right. Oh, that's a good one. Untitled Steve Coffin Project yes. 1. Untitled yeah. Steve.
Get all your friends to do it.
All right, guys. The top 5 releases is coming up this week. Number 1, The Epic Tale of Captain Underpants. Number 2, yeah, Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale Part 2. Number 3, Sugar Rush. Number 4, How It Ends. And number 5, Jim Jefferies, This Is Me Now. So one of those 5 we will be covering next week. So you guys will have to stay tuned. But in the meantime, Amy Cassandra Martinez, where can everybody find you?
On all social media, at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Follow me, subscribe, all that jazz. I do lots of YouTube stuff, so yeah.
Yeah. See? You guys can find me on Twitter almost exclusively. That is at Steve Kaufman, KAUFMANN. I run 4 different YouTube channels, 4 pro wrestlers. If you want to know which ones, you got to come and follow me.
Pro wrestlers.
Ashley Chaney?
I don't follow any pro wrestlers, but I do follow you, Steve. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to find me on social media, do so at Ashley on Camera. I mostly talk about food and travel and what else I'm watching on Netflix. So find me there. Let's talk. Mostly on Instagram.
Hey, guys, and I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RickHong. I do the Glow After Show. We just finished doing season 2. However, next week, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Mark Maron, Sam Sylvia himself will be at our studio to be interviewed, so tune in for that. And we're here at 7 p.m., so tune in for that, too. Netflix Picks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.